And we'll turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. So Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We want to begin at the first verse. We'll read down through verse 7. Excuse me. So Ecclesiastes 12, 1 to 7. Again, we'll give our attention to God's inspired and infallible word here. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, and the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Amen. Again, we trust God's blessing upon the public reading of His Word for His name's sake. And with that open there in red, let us again seek God's face as we would look at this passage this morning together. Father, we again address the Almighty. We pray that we might know Thy grace, the preaching and the hearing of Thy Word. The sins which we have committed, may they be blotted out in Christ's blood. Or the righteousness which we need, may we find it only in that imputed righteousness by the Son of God, the Son of Man. Draw near, we pray, and teach us and guide us by the Word. Lord, transform us, renew us, we pray. For Jesus' sake, amen. We read in 2 Chronicles 32 an interesting verse or two about Hezekiah. So in 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 24, it says, In those days Hezekiah was sick unto death, or to the death, and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. But especially that portion, that phrase there, that Hezekiah, verse 25, rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. That leads us, I think, into the right thinking about this chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes. where it says to remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Lord, we have benefits here. The benefits of being or existence. And that, as it were, puts upon us or requires of us from that benefit certain things. We read for the call to worship, Psalm 146, 1 and 2. And the psalmist says, praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. And notice what he says in verse 2. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. The psalmist is determined by God's grace to render according to the benefit of being. In other words, to render praise, to render that worship, to render that service, that him being a creature of God requires. So we want to think about that in this text of Ecclesiastes 12. That man is obligated to serve his Creator. Man is obligated to serve his Creator. The first thing we'll just notice is that God is our Creator. God. Remember that great psalm that we sing in the doxology of the same tune, Psalm 100. And you'll notice in the middle of that psalm, this very theme, verse 3, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. You know, this is a call to all lands, verse 1 of that psalm, to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All people are created, are made by God. By God. Yes, He uses means, a man and a woman. But everywhere in Scripture, the ultimate cause is God. It's God. You know, we'll not get into all the debates on whether the soul is created individually every single time. And that is called creationism, not necessarily referring to the doctrine of creationism we hear so much about today, of the creating the worlds. The other one is traducianism. That means that God produced that spirit and that soul in man in the beginning, and that is just given by parents to their children. We're not talking about that today. We won't get into all that. But nevertheless, either way, God is the Creator. God is the Creator. He is the Maker of mankind. Some of your Bibles may have a marginal reading at verse 1. Remember now thy creators, plural. Some of the Bibles do and some don't. And of course some believe that's the Hebrew is plural. Let me just read you what Hermann Witsius, one of the Reformed Fathers, said about this verse with the plural creators. He said, although we are created by the one power and action of one God, and so have only one Creator, yet there are more divine persons to whom creative power and action is ascribed. And so you see, it would be a reflection, I think, back to the Genesis chapter 1, where it says, let us make man. Let us make man. In other words, the whole Trinity is involved in creating us. And you look in the Scripture, sometimes it talks about the Father being the Creator, sometimes the Son, and sometimes the Spirit. But God, the one God, The one essence, the three persons, is our Creator. So Solomon is saying here, really remember God. Remember God. God then is our Creator. Secondly, very simply, man should remember Him. Man should remember God. Remember, a very common word in the Old Testament is to mark out, is the basic meaning of it. So it has a lot of ways you could translate it, but to mark it so as to be recognized. So one scholar says it this way, remembering in ancient Israel was a major aspect of proper worship as it is today, because you mark out God to worship Him, to serve Him. You recognize Him in worship for who He is, what He requires. Old and New Testaments. But it's broader than just that, isn't it? Especially here in this text. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember in Psalm 8, verse 4, it says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? That thou art remembering him. And the verse goes on to say that thou visitest him, the Son of Man, that thou dost visit him. That remembrance, that being mindful, in this case, on God's side, makes something else happen. It affects His action. And that is what Solomon is saying here. Not just, oh yeah, I know that God created me. I believe that. But remember Him in the days of thy youth while the evil days come not. And you read about all these things from verse 2, really down through verse 6, and there's all these figures of how the bodily senses and functions decay and lose their strength, lose their abilities as we grow older. What is Solomon saying? Remember. Acknowledge God in your life, in your thoughts, in your pursuits, before you can't. Or before it's very, very difficult to continue in that. That's the idea. Remember Him in that way. Be mindful of Him in that way. Mark out the Lord God, your Creator, in that way. These days will come. But, as Proverbs 23:17 says, be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long, beginning as soon as we're able. Your whole life. Your whole life. Because there's days coming when even your mind won't work as good. People say, well, you know, I'm young. It's time for me. It's time for mine. It's time for pleasure. It's time to do and see everything I can in this world. I'll get old and I can't move. See, we naturally can see this. There's a time that we can be more active and more accomplished and more pursuing of things. And it's when we're youth, until our health and strength and abilities are at their greatest. And there's time when it's going to fade and we're not going to be able to do so much. And accomplish much, and see much, and experience as much. But Solomon is speaking to us the words of eternal truth, and he says, remember thy Creator. Don't forget, don't live for this world. Yes, enjoy, as he says, the good gifts of God, but in relation to the Creator, not in separation or in opposition to Him. Augustine said that there's an attractiveness to beautiful bodies, to gold, to silver, to conquest, to poetry, to music, all these things. And we are to have them in moderation. And we are to get them not by leaving, not by an opposition to God and His law. That's the idea of Ecclesiastes, we could say. And what, he wasn't saying that about Ecclesiastes, he was saying part of his testimony. Well, that's the idea. Remember that Creator. Don't pursue life as a young person with God in the rearview mirror and yourself and the pleasures and experiences by themselves in the windshield, the front view. But remember, be mindful. Mark out God when you have strength and health and being. Without going through all the different things that Solomon mentions and very picturesquely describes about our decaying bodies when we come to that point in verses 2 down through really 6 or even 7, I want to just give a very shorter summary of it from Barzilla. In 2 Samuel 19, you can turn if you want, it's a very simple thing, but 2 Samuel 19, and remember this is when David is being brought back to the kingdom after Absalom ran him out and rebelled against him. And, you know, he had some, David did, that were loyal to him the whole time. And he had some that weren't. And, you know, Barzilla did a lot. He was a great man, or a wealthy man, a man of great means, and he helped David and his band out in a very lavish way while he was in the wilderness fleeing from Absalom. So when he comes, when David comes back to the kingdom, he, as any polite man, but any godly man should, remembers the kindnesses that were done to him and tries to repay them when he is able now as the king again. And so he wants him to come to Jerusalem. He wants to have him to sit at the king's table and to be fed of the king and enjoy that life for the remaining of his years. But Barzilla says in 1 Samuel 19:34, he said to the king, "How long have I to live that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil?" His mind is just not sharp as it used to be. "Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink?" His senses of taste is declining. It's going away. He can't enjoy his meals as much anymore. "Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing music?" His ears are just not what they used to. They cannot take in and enjoy the beautiful sounds of song and music. "Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king?" You see, there's a great little summary from the mouth of Barzilla of how we sometimes come to the end of our days, and how Solomon pictures it here, much longer, more involved figures. He just kind of says it straight out. Before that comes, Solomon is saying, before your faculties, mental, emotional, physical, start to decline, start to lose their edge, their strength, their abilities, remember thy Creator. Remember thy Creator in thy youth. Now, how should you remember Him? We're told to remember Him. We're told, especially while we have strength, while we have youth, if you will, as this text says. I want to suggest a couple ways, but the main thing is remember Him in faith, by faith. We said we must remember that He created us. And even that, Hebrews tells us, is by faith. That's how we understand that God created the worlds. He spoke them into being. He didn't make them out of things which are already here. You've heard that Latin phrase, ex nihilo, out of nothing. That's God's creation. And we were made from Him. We weren't there. We didn't see it. We believe the record of God's Word. But I say, if we're going to remember our Creator in the days of our youth, while we have time, we have opportunity, while we have strength, whatever means or senses, and live for Him, I said we need faith. And I would ask you to turn for this to 1 John 5 and verse 3. John says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" If we're going to remember our Creator in the days of our youth, I say we must have faith not only that God is our Creator, but that this way of life is good. It'll be pleasant. It'll be worthwhile. We need to abstain from certain sinful pleasures, courses of life, habits of thought, associations, etc. And to the world, we're fools. To the world, you're losing the enjoyment of your childhood, of your youth. What does God say through John? His commandments are not grievous. They're not grievous. If we love God, if we remember Him through Christ, would any of us be so bold to say that Christ Himself looked upon the commandments of God as grievous? His abstaining from sin, His believing in His God, His acts of piety. I don't think we would. He has given us as an example, as well as a Savior. We're to walk as He walked. He said through the Psalms, some of the Psalms reveal more of some of Christ's inward thoughts than the Gospels do, because they're looking on the outside and they're only reporting what they hear Him say or see Him do. Well, the Psalms often are the utterance of His own soul. He rejoices to do the commandments of God. His law is His delight. He remembered God in his youth. But we must overcome by faith. We must believe the record of God. Because the devil and our own selves and the world lie to us and say, later, when you get old, that's time to think of God. That's time to think of religion. That's the time you can live and do something for Him, maybe then. Don't waste your life serving the Lord. You could be having so much fun. Now that's everywhere. It's in this world. That's the books. That's the songs. That's the philosophy that we live around. We can overcome by looking to Jesus, by remembering that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, what is that? How can we grasp that as a young person or as any of us in any sphere of life, because we all have some opportunity, normally. We may come to the point where we don't, because we have so declined that it is too late. Rationally, consciously, we're not there enough to do anything, to remember even God. And if we're a saved person, God will still carry us. It's not that He will forsake us in our old age. And if we come to that point, we're talking about here service and being prepared and living for Him as we can. But what do we... Jesus is the Son of God. He has all power committed to Him. We're in youth for an older age. Let us take that to Him. He has desired, He has given us the commandment to overcome the world, to abstain from fleshly lusts, to not covet after all the things in the life of just this world, and especially the sinful part, but even the good part in exclusion or to the diminution of our God in heaven. We say, Lord Jesus, Thou art the Son of God. Heal me. Strengthen me. Give me a sight that the things of eternity, which my physical eye can't see, are yet real and eternal. Well, lasting. The things that I can see, temporal, corrupting, and very much creatures of a day, if we can say it that way. They go away so quickly. They don't deliver, as Ecclesiastes tells us, near the things we expect from them. But Jesus has to give us that perspective. He has to work it. He is the Son of God. He gives us that victory by believing in Him. Even our faith. It's not just faith in itself. Faith by itself does nothing. What is your faith in? Is it in the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, to give you this perspective that, yes, I want to obey that exhortation of Solomon to remember my Creator in the days of my youth or the days now that I have. He will give it. What do we see every time in the Gospels that folks felt their infirmity of body? They went to the Savior and they say, heal me. They said, I've tried. Some of them have gone to the physician and spent all of her living to one dear lady. Nothing done to the better. Doesn't mean physicians are bad. Let me just say that. Not against physicians. But in that case, they couldn't effect the cure that she needed. Just a touch of the hem of the garment. She was healed. We've got to be in touch by faith with that one Jesus Christ to have the overcoming of this world, of its values, of ourself. It's not just those things outside of us, that world spirit, that world idea. Those things, they're inside of us. That's why the monasteries, the convents do nothing to kill the world, because the world is in our hearts. But Jesus can do it. Jesus can do it. Whether a man's sitting on the throne like David, or the man's laying by the rich man's gate begging like Lazarus. Jesus, the Son of God, believing in Him, taking Him at His word, He is what? The Savior of all of His people from their sins. It's a sin not to remember our Creator in our youth. Well, many of us may need to repent of that. Well, all of us. For who can raise our hand and say, I'm clean, I've done nothing wrong in my youth? Well, not this man. So Solomon says in another place, no man. No man. We need to look to the God-man, the Son of God, for forgiveness. For that, but also to redeem the time now. The days are evil now. And the evil days are coming. Not maybe not in exact sense, the days are evil. that are sinful. In Ephesians there, well, that's why we redeem the time, the days of evil. In Solomon are more of pain, more of declension physically and those kind of things of our body and our life. Let's live by it. But in either case, we can ask Him to help us to redeem, to take back, to buy back the idea, our time, and use it for God, where we're at, in the circumstances, the means that we have. When we come to the reading of the Word in our prayers, we can remember our Creator, remember Christ. And He it is that makes that Word a word to us. Not in some, you know, mystical fashion, but He gives us light to understand it. He gives us the knowledge of Himself in it. He gives us help to do it. He gives us the love for it. When we come to prayer, again, youth is often said, you know, if we told people we pray, young people think you're a nut. Why are you doing that? You're not an old person. Because He's our Savior. He's our Creator. He's our Savior. Remember Him in praying. Not only to pray to Him that He has all power, but the second person of that Trinity who died for your sins to make your prayers acceptable. To make it effectual. To show you that He cares as the High Priest, as we mentioned in our own prayer today, because we all need Him. He is not one that can't be touched. He is touched with the temptations of youth as well as old age. He understands our weakness, and He is there as a Son of God to help us through it. Remember Him as well. Not only that the law is good, it's a rule of our life, but it's fulfilled in Him. Romans 10 tells us that Christ Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone which believeth. You're going to come down to prayer, whether in the morning or evening or both, and you're going to think of your sins. In other words, your unrighteousness, your disobedience of that law. Go and say, Christ is the end. Christ is the finishing of that righteousness that I need. We should feel good. It's right to. We sin, even as justified saints. But what do we do with it? We go to the righteousness that Christ has provided. We go to His blood to cleanse it. Remember Him in thy youth. Remember Him all the time. Remember Christ. Remember Christ. And ask Him to use you. You know, we don't have to be one like David who went out and conquered, and made, the Lord may, and I'm sure does still use military men. He does. Some of the greatest saints, as some have pointed out, have been military men. Or kings. Or great churchmen. The Lord uses those. He also uses the little maid that went to Naaman's house. Remember that. She was a captive. She was just a little one. But she feared the Lord. She remembered her Creator. She was not ashamed of Him in Naaman's house. A great and mighty warrior, Assyria. She told her mistress, if he could only see Elisha, he'd be healed. And so he went, and he was healed. So whatever your place is, wherever your circumstances land you, remember your Creator now, in this time, before Him who made you, and He will be with you. But let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask Thee that also we would all remember the Creator in the sense that we need to seek Him for salvation. For He alone can save the youth, the middle age, and the old age. He alone has the power to cleanse from every sin, to instate us in a position of righteousness, which not even the hell's inspired devil and all his angels can successfully overcome. Oh Lord, we thank that those who have been given to Christ can never be taken out of His hand. Lord, grant us grace to live today in the remembrance, the blessed remembrance, the blessed calling to mind and pursuing our Creator, the days of our youth. Lord, comfort each one this day, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen.